You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, quarterbacking tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I am connected to the studio in Memphis via telephone from Biloxi, Mississippi, and I've had a great weekend down here in the Magnolia State. I spent last night meeting with some supporters of the show in Macomb, Mississippi, near the Louisiana border, and then today went on into Hammond, Louisiana, and on into Gulfport and the Biloxi area. Just a couple of hours ago, I was walking on Biloxi Beach until a storm made me beat a hasty retreat. I'll never retreat politically, of course, but I will come in from out of the rain on occasion. And that's what I did today. Had a chance to drive by Beauvoir, the Jefferson Davis home and presidential library, and taking care of some business outside of the studio this weekend down here, again, in the great state of Mississippi. About 6 hours north of me via Interstate 55 is none other than Keith Alexander, who is in our home studio tonight in Memphis. Keith, how's it going up there in the old dig? Can you hear me, Keith? Apparently we're having some connection difficulties with Keith, so we'll wait for those to get resolved. But it's great to be with you tonight, folks. We've got a busy show, as always. A lot of stories we're going to be covering, a lot of news on the website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I noticed just a few minutes ago, as I was in my hotel room and just happened to be flipping through the channels, apparently earlier today, the Zimmerman trial got handed over to the jury. And so they are in deliberations, I believe, about 13 hours into their deliberations. Now, Peter Scoop Stanton will be calling in, or correspondent will be calling in later this hour to give us all of the updates on that. And, of course, Pat Buchanan's written an excellent column on the Zimmerman situation, and we'll cover parts of that as well, all before time runs out tonight. But I believe we do have Keith now connected up at our flagship studio in Memphis. Keith, can you read me?
I can. Let's make hay while the sun shines, boy. No telling how long we'll be on.
I know you're having a little technical difficulties there at 1380. I'm on the phone. You're up there in the studio. And I was telling everyone, of course, that I'm down here meeting with supporters at Macomb, Mississippi, Hammond, Louisiana. Now I'm in Biloxi, not far from New Orleans and Mobile, respectively. A lot of great southern cities here in the vicinity. And I want to quickly cover a story that spawns from Mississippi. Unfortunately, this isn't a good one. And it stems from your alma mater, Ole Miss, Keith. Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, has done as much as any other American university to castrate itself on the altar of political correctness, going so far as to ban their own mascot, Colonel Rebel, from attending their football and basketball game. But as always, it's all for naught. As we wrote on the website, you can never do enough to curry favor with the chronic malcontents like Alan Humphrey. Now, Marlon Humphrey is a black high school All-American football recruit, and like any college, you know, you want to get your roster stocked full of people like him. And so Ole Miss went out recruiting, but he spurned the Rebels because, according to him, they have KKK rallies on the campus of University of Ole every month, monthly KKK rallies at Ole Miss. Now, of course, that couldn't be further from the truth. As we just established, Ole Miss done everything it can to remove any vestiges of conservatism from its administration and student body. They've banned the Confederate flag. They've banned their own mask. To say the least, they're not having KKK rallies there. But it doesn't matter because they are in the South. They are in Mississippi, and he made up the lie, and that's what he's sticking to. Keith, your thoughts on that? I know you've heard about it.
Well, he's been programmed just like every other youth, white, black, or polka-dotted in the United States over the past 50 years to believe that the South is the nexus of evil in America and that racism predominate, and there's no way to purge yourself of that racism, as Paula Deen found out most recently. There's no way to atone for that particular sin in the eyes of the leftist elite that rules America and the world, for that part, for that matter, in today's world. So what Marlin is doing and what the Ole Miss administration is doing is, you know, it just goes to show that what you need to do as a white person is proudly seize your right and proclaim your right to have a sense of racial solidarity with your own kind, just as Marlin, I'm sure, proclaims loudly and proudly his right to a sense of racial solidarity with other blacks. And quite frankly, if Marlin doesn't want to play for Ole Miss, as an Ole Miss fan, I say don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave. You know, quite frankly, I think there is a niche for a school like Ole Miss in recruiting. If there is one group, if there is one pond that has been overfished, it is black athletes in Mississippi and black athletes throughout the South. You know, everybody and their mama, as Jesse Lee Peterson would say, is going after them. So where is the unfished pond that might have some lunkers in it? Well, it's as obvious as the nose on the end of your face. It is white high school football players. There are plenty of those boys that used to get Division I scholarships that now have to go to Division II or III or whatnot. But a lot of them are very good athletes when they do get a chance to play, like Peyton Manning, like Jacob Hester from LSU, was the receiver for the New England Patriots that basically
well,
was
Wes
not
Welker,
offered a,
Jason Witten.
Yeah,
I mean,
Wes Welker, that's it. Wes Welker wasn't even offered a scholarship, walked on at TCU. Doug Flutie, for example, who won the Heisman Trophy, got the very last scholarship offered by Boston College when he was recruited out of high school. There's plenty of white talent. What they ought to be doing is going after the white talent. If they're going to have responses like Marlin's to their efforts to ingratiate themselves to his ilk and to get him in, let's get the white players in there because, you know, a lot of them would probably be happy to be at Ole Miss. I remember a couple of years ago when the almost all-black Ole Miss team got thumped pretty soundly by the almost all-white BYU team, Brigham Young University, from Sam Bushman's neck of the woods. You know, who needs these guys? And furthermore, I can tell you that rather than filling the stands and filling the coffers of Ole Miss to bring a bunch of thugs on campus who despise the university and everything it stands for and try to pretend that they're loyal alums of Ole Miss, what they need to be doing is what white people need to be doing is rather than filling those stands, fill the stands of a local white football team in high school, a high school football team. Those teams routinely beat these black schools full of future or potential SEC athletes. And I think this is where you need to, that's where we need to put our focus and our attention.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're just getting started tonight. Keith's in Memphis. I am in Biloxi, a little bit south of both Keith, of course, and the University of Ole Miss. But the Political Step 4 rolls on in just a few minutes.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print. It seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hi, folks. It's Sam Bushman, host of the Liberty Roundtable Live radio talk show at libertyroundtable.com. Hey, I just discovered something that I want to let you in on. Are you familiar with the Get Prepared Preparedness Expo at usapreparers.com, put on by Vince Finelli and crew? I'm telling you right now, it's a who's who of the preparedness world. With a preparedness show, along with a SHOT show, all rolled into one, it's going to be an incredible event. When? July 19th, 20th, and 21st. Where? Lebanon, Missouri. Who? Well, me. I'm going to be there. Sam Bushman. I'm going to deliver my presentation, New Media Takes Center Stage. Who else? You. I'd like to invite you to personally attend and meet me and the other talk show hosts who will be in attendance. With over 100 instructors on all kinds of preparedness items, you just can't miss it. $18 for all 3 days online at usapreparers.com or $10 a day at the door. I'm going to be there. I hope to see you there. usapreparers.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the political cesspool. James Edwards calling in from southern Mississippi tonight. Keith Alexander at our studio up in Memphis. We were talking about a story, of course, in the first segment out of Mississippi, this black malcontent. He wasn't excited to be recruited by an SEC program like Ole Miss. In fact, after his recruiting visit to the campus, he got on Twitter and left just a string of preposterous remarks saying how he wasn't going to go to Ole Miss. They have KKK rallies all the time there. And, of course, in the meantime, for the past several years, Ole Miss has done everything it could possibly do to embarrass itself and trade in its heritage for 30 shekels of silver. But, you know, you can't do enough to placate these guys. But Ole Miss's answer will assuredly be more cowbells, more placating, more acquiescing, more capitulation. And that's what they're going to do. But, you know, Marlon Humphrey's this guy that made the just absurd KKK rallies on Ole Miss. God, my God. But, you know, he takes his cues from the establishment media and that one should never let the facts get in the way of a sensational story.
Well, that's why they will never let the civil rights movement die a natural death. They keep reviving it, fanning the dying embers of it, because it works so well with mainstream conservatives and liberals alike, because both mainstream liberals and mainstream conservatives agree that the most righteous moment in 20th century American history was the civil rights movement. They ignore all the facts about how corrupt it was, how it was basically paid for by Soviet communists and American communists. Martin Luther King was on the payroll, numerous other civil rights luminaries, like a guy named Ernest Withers from Memphis, who was the Matthew Brady of the civil rights movement, took all the photographs. He was on the payroll of the FBI. All of these people, the whole thing was a contrived and concocted affair, but they like to keep bringing it to the fore, and this is another way to do it. This guy Marlon is, I'm sure Ole Miss is going to be a much poorer place without an intellect of a great scholar like Marlon coming there, but Ole Miss is run by a bunch of craven cowards. I'm surprised that the next thing I predict will be the change of the name from Ole Miss to the Marxist-Leninist Institute of Mississippi. That would be the appropriate thing. And, you know, James, you wrote a great article about Ole Miss and their pandering ways several years ago that appeared in Cass Football called Ole Miss is Now New Mess. Anybody that wants to look it up, Google Cass Football, Ole Miss is Now New Mess, and you can see that the more things change, the more they stay the same. The Ole Miss hierarchy is going to keep, as you say, prescribing more cowbell, more pandering, and pandering doesn't do anything except encourage your critics to pour it on. And furthermore, none of these critics is going to buy a single season ticket. They would never come to an Ole Miss game, you know, if you paid them $1,000, basically. They hate the school. They're never going to stop hating the school. And I have no idea when the dimwits that run Ole Miss are going to figure that out and decide that they better start paying more attention to their paying customers than a bunch of inconsolable critics who despise them and will never be never change their ways.
Frank, and of course, Keith, all of this crazy behavior, this pathological thought process, does stem from the so-called civil rights movement, and now it's just reaching an increasing level of absurdity. And you mentioned that in their minds, it was the greatest moment in 20th century American history. In their minds, it was the greatest moment in American history, period.
Maybe world history.
To them, I mean, Thomas Jefferson is an insignificant figure when compared to the great Rosa Parks. But let me get to this, because this is a story that I think, you know, when you keep stacking on crazed thinking, you get to this, a level of this complete absurdity. New York City Council. It doesn't get any dumber than this. Cops might as well wear blindfolds, the story reads, if the New York City Council passes a bill that will let them use little more than the color of the suspect's clothing in descriptions or risk being sued for racial profiling, according to a provocative new bill that maintains that police officers cannot refer to a suspect's race, age, or gender when identifying them. So basically, when you report to the scene of a crime, you cannot factor in a person's race, age, or gender when trying to locate and capture them. So what can you use? And here's the thing, Keith. Let me say this, and I want you to respond. The bill's sponsor is a Democrat from Brooklyn named Jumaine Williams. That's J-U-M-A-A-N-E, Jumaine, and you can guess what his ethnicity is. You get two guesses, and the first one doesn't count, as you like to say. Now, what they're doing with this, what Jumaine is doing with this bill, that, again, will make it illegal to identify a suspect using their race, age, or gender, they're going to bypass the normal committee process and bring the measure directly to a vote. They say that racial profiling is already illegal and should be, and this is the next step. So, no, you can't factor in a person's age, race, or gender when identifying a suspect. How in the hell are you ever supposed to catch a criminal? And what good could possibly come from something as ridiculous as this?
Well, apparently, common sense has taken a permanent vacation in the outdoor insane asylum known as New York City. And, you know, the more I hear, the more I understand why our ancestors wanted to secede from places like New York. You cannot be part of a nation in which the New York tail wags the red state American dog. It's crazy. But unfortunately, whatever happens in New York City or on the left coast is a preview of what is going to be enforced sometimes at the point of a bayonet, like in the civil rights movement with school integration, upon the reluctant other interior parts of America known as red state America, by our elite. Now, why in the, you know, you need to see this in the bigger context. This is part of Herbert Marcuse's. Herbert Marcuse was the great popularizer of cultural Marxism. He's the one who coined the phrase make love, not war. And he said that they wanted to create a new cultural Marxist proletariat that was not going to be analogous to the real proletariat or the original proletariat of Marx and Engels, which was the working class. Instead, he wanted everybody marginalized by American society. Blacks, homosexuals, women were added into it, and criminals. And see, this is going to be a field day for all criminals. If they can't be identified, how do you think the police are going to be able to capture them? And if they can't capture them, or if they capture a black guy and it turns out, heaven forbid, that they may have gotten the wrong black guy 1 out of 1,000 times, they'll be sued out of their skulls. Well, this was the purpose of the Criminal Rights Initiative, which was the second great initiative of the Earl Warren Supreme Court. The first was black rights, then criminal rights. Remember Gideon versus Wainwright, Escobedo versus Arizona, Miranda versus Arizona, Aguilar versus Texas. All of these things, all of these decisions were intended to make it more difficult to apprehend and prosecute criminals. Why? Why is the left so friendly with criminals? Well, criminals, in the eyes of a true cultural Marxist, do a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society, and they don't want them hampered in their useful, historically dialectic role. So consequently, they want criminals terrorizing law-abiding citizens. This falls right in with Sam Francis's famous concept, anarcho-tyranny. We have anarchy and tyranny in America at the same time. We have an elite establishment that will not protect normal citizens from real criminals, and they criminalize the normal behavior of conservative citizens.
All right, Keith, so we're going to hold up right there, brother, and we'll be back with more of the Political Cesspool Charges Forward tonight on the Liberty News Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, welcome back to the show. Peter Scoop Stanton will be calling in shortly to log in his report on the latest in the trial of George Zimmerman, the political show trial. What the Obama administration wants and what the media wants is a lynching. They want to lynch George Zimmerman. And we're going to be talking about that more as timely as it is. But I want to quickly wrap up a couple of parting shots on that last story. Keith and I were covering the story that if Jermaine Williams, a Democrat out of Brooklyn, New York, gets his way, the New York Police Department will no longer be able to identify suspects using their age, race, or gender. So basically, I guess the top news story after a particularly heinous crime is committed is that, breaking news, a human wearing clothes is, we need your help capturing him. You know, so I guess that's how they're going to do it. But basically what he said, Keith, was Jermaine Williams says that what he wants in banning the use of age, race, and gender in identifying suspects is only going to strengthen the great racial profiling laws that are already on the books by adding other demographic groups that should be protected, in his words, such as the homeless people and homosexuals. But even the radically left-wing Bloomberg administration has warned that such a bill could lead to an avalanche of lawsuits against the city by any members of a protected class, and that would pretty much be everybody but heterosexual whites, who believe that they were profiled. Okay, so first of all, Keith, there's nothing wrong with racial profiling as far as I'm concerned. If there's a particular group of the population, a particular demographic of the population that commits an insanely disproportionate amount of crime, I think they should have a little more scrutiny placed upon them. Now, if I was a black person and I was a law-abiding citizen, and somebody came up to me just because I was black and asked me where I was on a certain time, I'm a police officer, I can understand why they're doing that, and I would be mature enough to say, you know what, I'm a law-abiding citizen. Yeah, you know, I shouldn't have been asked, but I understand why I'm being asked. And I really do feel as though if I were born black, I would have the maturity and the common sense to understand why this occurs, because everybody else in my racial demographic, or not everyone, but a disproportionate amount, are showing out. That's why profiling exists. It's a sensible practice. So racial profiling should not be illegal. It's a sensible practice. But not being able to use race, gender, or age at all, and even trying to identify a suspect, that goes beyond profiling, Keith. Profiling is when you preemptively question someone. This is talking about a crime that's already been committed, and you can't factor in those attributes. Completely nonsensical.
Well, look, it's insanity, but that's what the left wants. They're doing everything they can to hamstring the normal operation of society. They do it purposely. It's right in the template of the cultural Marxists. It's right in their wheelhouse, as they say in about baseball players. They have always wanted to hamper the authorities in the pursuit of everyday criminals, because everyday criminals serve their purposes. The purpose they serve is to destabilize bourgeois society. They want the members of the middle class terrorized. Remember, we said a couple of weeks ago that one of the great goals of globalism is nothing less than wiping out the middle class worldwide. Well, this serves that end. This serves the ends of what Sam Francis called anarcho-tyranny. When you can't rely on the police force to apprehend criminals, you certainly can't prosecute criminals you can't apprehend. And this strikes right to the heart of the matter. Now, as insane as it sounds, what could have sounded more insane 30 years ago than homosexual marriage and, all sorts of things that have come to pass in America? The left is high on success. They are now in control of every major institution via the long march through the institutions of cultural Marxism that controls public thought, the entertainment industry, the news media, higher academia, just, you know, you name it. They've got even the military. The military is a hotbed of affirmative action. And, you know, merit apparently has no place, along with common sense. Everything that should be, the principles that should be governing our lives are now being banished from being considered whatsoever. And, well, we're living in a upside-down world. You know, just think about this Trayvon Martin thing for a moment, if we can. What is happening? Sure. Look at the uniform reaction of the black population throughout the United States that somehow Trayvon Martin is an innocent victim and that George Zimmerman is a hateful racist. If you think it's bad now, what do you think is going to happen when whites are a minority in America? When there will not be six white women on a jury, but maybe three blacks and three Hispanics on that jury. I mean, we're in, like Bob Dylan said, it's a hard rain that's going to fall, folks.
Well, Keith, you set the stage for our coverage of the Zimmerman show trial. And, of course, I know we have Peter Scoop Stanton on the line now, and he's going to log a report for the remainder of the hour, and we're going to be talking about this subject. But remember that the media so salivates for a Mississippi Burning type crime or a Time to Kill type crime, the mythical black on white violent crime for no good reason, crimes that just don't exist in the real world. And the media wrote this story. The media wrote this story that Zimmerman was white and Martin, you know, he shot Martin in racist anger and in cold blood. They wrote that story before they found out that, oops, uh-oh, he's Hispanic. They went by the name Zimmerman thinking he was assuredly white. Turns out that he's not, but they were already locked in. You know, this should not have been brought to trial. No charges should have been charged against Zimmerman. We know that based upon the facts. But because they were already locked in, you know, the state was cowed by the media. The state of Florida was cowed by the media. Had the media not...
Well, you know, no government that's worth the name of a government, any government in America that allows itself to be cowed and to politicize a criminal prosecution basically has violated their oath of office, and everybody that was involved should be impeached or voted out of office or somehow charged with a crime. I think this prosecutor is guilty of prosecutorial misconduct.
Just like
the guy in the Duke lacrosse hoax, you know, so-called Duke lacrosse team rape. That prosecutor was disbarred.
Okay, Scoop, we want to let you, I know this is your time, you've been preparing for this, and you're right, Keith, you should be charged with prosecutorial misconduct, and the judge, I don't think the judge has sustained any objections that the defense has given, but we'll let Scoop take it from there. Scoop, it's all yours.
All right, Gaming James, Keith, NSA, and everybody else, I apologize for breaking. I guess we're having some technical difficulties beyond my control. But I did some research on the Zimmerman case. I was going to just call just about the update, but just doing the research is just amazing about how messed up it is. First, let's go back to the beginning. Zimmerman was told by a 911 operator not to follow Martin, and the 911 operator is not a law enforcement officer. Therefore, he hasn't disobeyed any direct orders, and no crime was committed. And secondly, Zimmerman called the police and asked them to show up. He's like, hey, I got this guy. Could you please come over and get him? Now, if he's supposed to be the racist mastermind criminal that he is, why would he call the police to show up at this, you know, where the Martin was? And then when finally it all goes down, Zimmerman is told that there's a videotape. So just to get a reaction, like, uh-oh, now you got me. But now when he's told, like, hey, there's a videotape of the occurrence, he gets excited, thinking he's in the clear. But unfortunately, there was no videotape. And then he told the story four different times to police what happened. Very little discrepancy. The lead investigator did not want to file charges against Zimmerman as he felt there's not probable cause. That investigator was browbeaten by his black superiors to file charges, and he gets transferred to patrol. It's supposed to be a lateral transfer, and supposedly he asked to go back to patrol. The chief of police refuses to charge Zimmerman, citing lack of probable cause, and now he is on the unemployment line.
See, we have a totally corrupt governmental system, Scoop. This is Keith Alexander, and all of this proves it. People that are, you know, take their oath seriously and try to do the right thing are outcasts in today's lynch mob mentality. We have, we apparently abandoned principle altogether, and everything is determined based on skin color. So much for Martin Luther King's famous comment about hoping that in the future his daughters would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Hi, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're talking a minute or two here about the latest in the trials, the attempted political lynching, the show trial against George Zimmerman. I mean, the prosecution did such a poor job. I mean, obviously and transparently poor job and making their case. It was all basically centered around this illiterate, I believe John Derbyshire referred to her as a 300-pound slab of ghetto attitude, Rachel Chantilly, and it just went south from there. Here's what Pat Buchanan has written this week, our good friend, about the latest. And I want to read quickly from Pat and then turn it back over to Scoop. Of course, the trial has now been sent to the jury. They are deliberating. And there's a very real chance that you will see black race riots, black-on-white race riots, should the non-white Zimmerman be acquitted, as he should be under the letter of the law. But again, as we said, the media tried this case against him before they even knew he was Hispanic, and then they were just pretty much locked in and just kept moving forward. But here's what Pat writes. That the prosecution in the Zimmerman trial asked the judge to allow a verdict of third-degree murder, i.e. child abuse, testifies to the prosecution's failure and panic. For George Zimmerman's defense has proven, beyond a reasonable doubt, that he shot Trayvon Martin not out of malice, rage, or hate, but in a desperate act of self-defense. Even the prosecution is now conceding that Trayvon might have been on top during the fight and is now scrambling for a compromise verdict on a lesser charge than second-degree murder, a charge that never should have been brought. Indeed, this trial never should have been held, Pat continues. What we have witnessed in Sanford, Florida, is the prosecution of an innocent man for murder because the politically and socially powerful demanded it. That Trayvon is dead is a tragedy, and an avoidable tragedy, but it was not murder. And it does not justify railroading a man who, whatever mistakes he made that night, committed no crime. Pat concludes that George Zimmerman should have informed Trayvon that he was the neighborhood watchman. Trayvon shouldn't have punched him. Both made mistakes. One is dead, but to send the other one to prison for what happened that night would be an act of vengeance, not justice. And that is not what America is supposed to be about. Scoop, back over to you.
Well, thanks, James. Back to the trial. Even before it began, the Sanford County District Attorney's Office refused to indict Zimmerman, citing lack of probable cause. See, there's a something called probable cause before you can railroad a man, but I guess since it's racial bias, or has to do with race, probable cause are out the window. So the state of Florida appointed a special prosecutor to indict Zimmerman, which it happened. Back to the trial itself, the FBI had a forensic voice expert, he's a so-called expert witness, to talk about the voices on the tape. He was so hard to understand because English was not his proficient language, I could not understand what he said. So, he was the witness for the prosecution, made him look very bad. The medical examiner could not recall examining Mr. Martin. It did not review any autopsy notes, and he looked like a total idiot. But to the defense, to their credit, they called Trayvon Martin's father as a witness. Surprisingly, he admitted that he told police he did not recognize him.
It looks like Peter's under nuclear attack over there.
He's being bugged out or blocked out like Radio Free Europe, you know, because of his he's daring to have conservative viewpoint views and expressing it publicly on the radio.
But Keith, I want to ask you this, and then we'll get back to Scoop if he's still with us. Keith, what do you think about? First of all, do you think that this jury of six women? It's going to be swayed by the social angst that demands them to find Zimmerman guilty. And if not, do you believe that the blacks will riot as they are promising to do? Not as we suspect they might, but as they are promising to do, many of them, on Twitter and other forms of social media.
Okay, well, let me address the first thing first. The defense had a great deal of input in choosing this jury. But so did the prosecution. The prosecution, basically, like you said, is getting kid glove treatment, and that is, you know, an understatement from the judge. The judge, quite frankly, I think, is not behaving much better than this prosecutor. He seems to be caving into everything that they want, with the exception of this child abuse charge, which is absolutely absurd. Trying to turn Trayvon Martin into Adam Walsh is an absurdity. But this is, you know, what is happening, what Scoop was talking about with, you know, what has happened to the members of the constabulary down there in Stamford, Florida, that wanted to stand up and do the right thing and treat this the way it should have been treated. It falls under the rubric, no good deed will go unpunished. And if we had civil rights laws that were worthy of the name, these people would have excellent cases to go against their government for their racially motivated mistreatment. But unfortunately, they don't. That shows you how bereft of fair play our legal system is today. Now, the six women were chosen for a reason. They know that white women in particular, above all else, want to be perceived as nice. And unfortunately, liberalism has cornered the market on niceness in today's America. So I guarantee you there's going to be at least one or two on there that are going to be holding out for some type of, of conviction on something. They may be talked off that ledge, but it's, you know, there's nothing that ought to be done to this man. He has been put through to hell and back with this trial. And, you know, to heck with whether there are riots. If there are riots, take care of the rioters, the way that all lawless people should be taken care of. You know, they should be arrested. If they threaten you with armed force, the police have the right to fire on them. What would be the great injustice, as far as I'm concerned, is that George Zimmerman is convicted of anything.
Scoop Stanton is under fire there, taking heavy fire, artillery shells in Washington. He had to get off the call, had some interference there. But I think what you will find, Keith, is that, and I hope this isn't the case, I hope I'm wrong, I think that jury will find him guilty of a lesser charge. I don't think if there's any decency.
That's why they picked six women. That's why they picked six white women.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're all white, but it is six women. And
well, that's what I've heard. I've heard that it's six white women.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but it may be. I'm not sure about that. But either way, I don't think they'll find him guilty of second-degree murder because that's just entirely a bridge too far. But I do think they'll strike a compromise, as women are wont to do. And if there are riots, you know, this is the mob mentality. You get handed a verdict based upon justice if he's found not guilty and acquitted. And then these thugs just take matters in their own hands.
Well, this is what happens when you politicize a criminal prosecution. The judiciary should not be subject to political pressure. That's why the U.S. Supreme Court was given lifetime tenure, subject to removal only by impeachment, so that they would not be subject to political pressure. But political pressure works so well for the left that it's a tactic they're not about to give up. And like James, this whole thing is a Stalinist-era show trial. I guarantee you, if Zimmerman's father had been Hispanic rather than his mother and his name was Mendoza, we would never have heard of this and he would never have been prosecuted.
This came up earlier today when I was talking with a fan of the show in Macomb, and that was brought up. I think they used the term Rodriguez. His last name had been Rodriguez, George Rodriguez. It would have never been brought up, and it shouldn't have been brought up. It doesn't matter what his ethnicity is, but because it became such a national news story because they thought he was white, and I guarantee you that's what it is.
Well, you've got to understand that other people's perceptions are the ultimate reality in today's America. Forget real reality. In the news media's eyes, as long as they could portray him as a white person, one of these hated white people, particularly from the South, and Florida is still considered part of the South, then they're going out hammering tongs after him. On the other hand, if he were another minority, they do not like infighting among minorities, so we would have heard this whole thing buried.
They refer to him as a white Hispanic, which is a term that's not used very often. They're trying to save a little face.
White to me when I look at his pictures, James.
Well, he doesn't claim to be white, and he's not, and that's fine. I mean, he's still not guilty, but I'm just saying they are casting him as white just to show how...
The point is, it doesn't matter what, you know, he shouldn't be prosecuted if he's Hispanic, if he's Chinese, if he's white, or if he's polka-dotted. Because under the law, his acts are protected. If you notice, he's not protecting himself or trying to defend himself under the Stand Your Ground law, which is a slam dunk in his favor. Why not? Because that would make him the perfect case to question the constitutionality of the Stand Your Ground law, and he would be embroiled in litigation for 10 years with the sword of Damocles hanging over his head, that if he goes back again, then there's going to be more and more pressure. Remember what happened on the second trial of Rodney King? They found the police officers guilty of some type of minor infraction. Well, they would be, you know, if it was rioting after an acquittal this time, if they had a chance to overturn it, even in part on appeal, and retry it, believe me, our wonderful principled leadership in America would make sure that he was thrown to the wolves.
His life is ruined no matter what. He'll have to live in hiding the rest of his life, even if he is acquitted. His life is over because of the anti-white hatred that the media has for all of us. And Zimmerman's just the unfortunate victim because he's Hispanic. But I'll tell you this, assuredly, by next week, when we return to the airwaves, even though there's still 2 hours tonight, the verdict will be in. So this is something we'll be talking about next week. I mean, I guess there's even a small chance it can be delivered tonight, but most assuredly by next week. We've got to take a break. Second hour coming up. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. Stay tuned.